Morning, everybody. How we doing? Just yesterday was normal Wednesday practice, really focusing on the first and second down things that we need to get done. And, we incorporate some things in Wednesday practice that we want to get a little bit of extra work on or want to emphasize. I thought there was some good work done in those periods. And then today, the emphasis shifts to third down and playing a team like Baltimore, who's historically very good on third down defensively. You got to be that much sharper. They have a combination of pressures and coverages that they bring, and it's a very creative group. And the creativity isn't just in, say, a new blitz that you face. It could be an old blitz that you face where they move people around. So some of it is IDing what they're going to do as opposed to who exactly is doing it. And that's a little bit unique, and that's something that we have to adjust to. And then defensively, I think that they've third down something that we need to improve on. And they've done a nice job, and Cam always does a nice job of creating some packages that cause difficulty from a coverage perspective. So with that, we'll open up to questions.
Hey, Coach, as creative as they are they a notch up talent-wise with guys like Lewis and Reed and perennial Pro Bowlers?
They've got a lot of really, really talented players. And with Ray, he's a special guy. And then you factor in Ed Reed, things that he's able to do and the way he's able to combine his instincts with some of the chances that he takes. He's 43 career interceptions, something like that, and one of the few guys, or maybe the only guy in the NFL that's returned. I think he's got a punt return, fumble return, interception return. Any way that he can return it, he has, and he's dangerous at all times, and you can't exactly pinpoint where he's going to be because of the way that he plays and some of the freedom that he has back there.
And other than double teaming Lewis or however you want to block him, is it tough to neutralize a guy like that who's so good sideline to sideline?
Well, it's tough when you take into account all the other people that you have to block in that front group, and it's not one of those situations where you say, okay, I think we can we'll take care of these guys this way, and then we'll really emphasize taking care of him. You can't do that with this group. You gotta deal with them collectively.
Yeah, can you talk about what they do with their defensive line, particularly how it would affect Alex Mack?
I think they're big inside and. They use, especially in sub, they'll use a combination of guys inside and outside and looks and things like that. So it's, for a young guy the first time seeing it, there's a lot of stuff to analyze the process, and you have to sit down. He'll spend some extra time not just with the coaches but with the other players. And I think it's important as a group for the offensive linemen to spend extra time going through and really understanding what they're going to do and what they're going to see and how those variations can come into play.
Relax is probably the wrong word, but do you think Mac is he might be putting a little pressure on himself more than that becomes a little counterproductive out there?
Well, with Alex, he's driven to be as successful as he can be, and I don't think that the pressure that he puts on himself is any different than what he's done throughout his career. I mean, he's a guy that wants to be right. He's a guy that wants to be successful, and he's always going to push himself to do that. And I think that's a positive thing. But I don't think he takes it to a level where it becomes detrimental.
There wasn't any sign of these shotgun snap problems at Cal with him, were there? I mean, they do a lot of shotgun there.
No, and Dealing with a young center in the past, there's some things that you work through and you improve. And Nick had to work through a lot of those things early on. And, we had a game against Cincinnati where I think it was 07, kind of the same thing where it got snapped at the wrong time or too high. I can't remember what it was, but it's first things first, and most basic part of the play is getting the ball to the quarterback, and you gotta take care of that first, and then you move on to the next thing. It's similar to a receiver who looks to run before he has the ball into the tuck. You gotta just take care of securing the football first, and then you move on to the next thing.
Doing, and is he ready to contribute more in the nickel or corner?
He's made some contributions on special teams, and he's worked in all the different packages. What's important for him is to improve in those different packages and really carve out a role in one area or the other. And I've liked the way that he's worked at it, but now he's got to continue to make a case for himself to get that extended play time.
Go ahead. In both of your games so far against two very different defenses, your offense has really played the first half predominantly with two tight ends, your package. Is that the base offense, or can you expand to a more spread offense right off the bat rather than when you're behind?
Well, no, we've mixed in both games. We've mixed in quite a bit of 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers, one tight end, one back. So there's been that's consistently been mixed in, and not just on third down, on first and second down, and things like that. And I feel very comfortable using that, and I feel comfortable in 21 as well with Vickers in there. And a lot of times, what we try to do is in the different personnel groups is to be able to run the same concepts out of 12 that you'd run out of 11, the same concepts out of 12 that you'd run out of 21, because you can flex a tight end out like you would if it was three wide receivers and the other tight end's in line, and that would be like 11, or you could take one of those tight ends and put them in the backfield so that it's very similar to 12, I think, or I'm sorry, to 21. So 12 is one of those groups that you can create the plays from the other packages, where 11, it's the carryover isn't as great. The carryover isn't as great. Or 21, you don't traditionally build those 11 type packages.
Two tight ends to help the quarterback more with more protection.
Well, not necessarily, Tony, because you can block 7 in 21. Where the fullback and the tailback are both in protection, the same way that you can block 7 with the two tight ends. I mean, the same combination of people. You just replace the fullback with a tight end.
Eric, how was Jamal doing when he came in this morning, and do you expect him to practice today?
We're gonna have to see. With Jamal, he approaches everything the same way, so he's working at it, and we'll just have to see how we go through the week.
Is he a guy that say he doesn't practice this week because his familiarity with Baltimore and because he's been around so long? Do you feel more comfortable playing on Sunday if he hadn't practiced?
It's not going to be a function of the opponent necessarily. It's going to be more a function of how well he could operate in the game, how well he can contribute, and that's usually the approach that we take, as opposed to who we're playing. It's can that guy contribute if he goes to the game, and will he be ready to play in that game?
You don't have anything personal about guys who might not practice but then feel better, get better on Saturday and Sunday if they hadn't gone at all during the week?
Well, you try to set a protocol to make sure that the most important thing is that they're healthy, they're ready to play physically, but you also want them to be ready to play mentally as well. And, you know, it's without being able to see it or have some sense that they will be able to do that, it makes the decision more difficult. And I've talked about in here before, we had a situation in New York where a guy really looked like he was going to be able to play. We activated him. He ended up playing two plays in the game, and that really leaves you short and takes you out a lot of stuff that you anticipated being able to run. So you don't want to get in that situation either.
When was he hurt in the Denver game, I assume, but when did that happen?
You know, I'm not sure the exact point where it happened.
James Davis, in that first game, you know, he admitted that he really wasn't ready for the speed of the Vikings, and now he's had a week off to kind of, you know, sit back, I guess, and reflect on that and heal up a little bit. But do you think that now he'll be prepared for that speed?
I think he'll be more aware of it, and it really is hard to convey to rookies the change, the dramatic change from preseason to the regular season, because it's, you talk about it, you show it, but you got to go feel it, and it usually is a wake up call.
It's a comparable type of run defense too. I mean, in terms of the quality of the run defense he would be going up against this week too.
Yeah, they're both fast, they're both physical, they're both tough. I don't even know how old he was when Ray came into the league.
I mean, you've been with a 4-12 team before that you took over. When you take over a team in a losing situation and so on, and they start 0-2 and have trouble getting the ball in the end zone, and how do you kind of fight against the here we go again syndrome?
Well, one thing is a lot of guys weren't here last year. A lot of the coaches weren't here last year, and a lot of the veteran players understand that it isn't about what happened last year. It's about what you do in that given season. Every single year, you see radical shifts in what a team was the year before versus what they are the next year. And been a part of those both ways, in a good way, been a part of it in a not as good way. And if you look at the Dolphins last year, and they were coming off a 1-15 season, they were 0-2 at this point. They go to New England, who had won however many games straight, but they consistently worked at what they were doing, and they corrected the mistakes that they had, and things changed. And 0-2 in New England in 0-1. I think we were 0-2, and I don't know if we were 1-3 when we, you know, after four games. I forget exactly what it was, but you know, you work at it, you're consistent with it, you correct mistakes, you're diligent, and things change. But you have to do those things. You have to be able to correct those mistakes. Otherwise, the outcome's not going to be different.
Your first division game that you've been here. How difficult is it for you to try to get progress in the system and the program when you're in such a tough division?
Well, I felt like the division I came out of was pretty tough too. I mean, yeah, there were a couple of Super Bowl winners in that other division too. They had to face twice a year, and and I was in the AFC East for. I've only really been in two divisions. I've been in this division, the AFC East, so two pretty formidable divisions. It's I think the thing that I'm going through the process of now is you have such familiarity coming from the division that you're in. You know those teams. You've seen those players. You've game-planned it multiple times. You understand the coordinators. You understand the head coach, and things do change, but you know, you've seen it, you've studied it, you know, I'm working through that process, and the coaches are working through that process, and of really understanding in depth the division the way you need to understand the division. And you do work in the off season. You do all those things to get to that point. But it's also playing the games and going through that part of the process as well.
Do divisions have separate identities? I mean, people always say the AFC North, you got to run the ball, it's cold weather, or you have to build your team around the identity of the division?
Sometimes divisions change dramatically. They may start out one way, and then depending on the turnover in coaches or types of players, or it changes. You know, Buffalo's transitioned to more of a no-huddle system, which is something they hadn't been doing historically in that situation. New York is obviously have elements of Baltimore defensively, where that had been three predominantly two-gap 34 teams with New England, New York, and Miami when Bill went there, and there's some variations there. So, you know, it changes based on who's there.
John St. Clair and the rest of the right side of that offensive line need to do to tighten up against the pass rush?
It's really the whole group, and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. You when a sack happens, you usually look at the person that was blocking that player, but there's other components to it as well, based on where the help should be, based on where the slide should have come, based on where the quarterback should be. I think as a group, we need to do a better job. And just like sacks defensively aren't a function of all the time one pass rusher, I think it's the same thing offensively. Typically, you look at one guy and say, all right, that's the issue, but there's other things that go into it, and it has to be coordinated.
Some old business, if you don't mind. Yesterday, Brett Favre said that he thought it was very unfair that you were fined by the league. Did he offer to pick up the tab?
You know, with that issue, that's closed for me. In terms of what Brett has to say, it's closed for me.
Question about Brady Quinn. As to whether receivers are open too infrequently, is that the case? Receivers are open too infrequently, and that's one reason he's holding the ball?
I think that it's different each play. I think there's been a lot of plays where receivers have been open, and been some plays where maybe those options weren't there, that the first or second option wasn't there, and then you got to go to your check down or your third option, and sometimes the answer is just throw the ball away, and similar to what Peyton Manning does really well. You assess it, it's not there, and instead of going to taking a negative play, you throw it away and you live to fight another day.
About tweaking the scheme to get the guys open more frequently?
Well, what I'm saying is I think that there have been receivers open, and I want them open every single play. Yeah, I really do. You want them wide open and be able to get to the ball, but there's going to be challenges, and sometimes you got to fit into a tight spot, and sometimes it's an easier spot.
Do you think the play calling has been sound?
I think that Brian's done a good job with creating formations, with the plays that we have going in based on that opponent, and collectively we can do a better job of executing it. And I'm sure we're going to do a better job continuing to improve all aspects of the coaching as well.
Eric, is Harrison pretty much? I know he played last week, but is he healthy, and you see him doing more? Basically, where's he at right now?
Yeah, he's practicing, and I think each week he's gotten better and better. So I'm looking forward to him getting more opportunities and see where he goes with those.
When you contemplated your first draft pick this year, we know now you talked to the Jets even the night before about the trade, but how much work did you put into looking at Sanchez? Did you interview him? Did you work him out? And subsequent to that, how do you feel? He's 2-0 right off the bat as a rookie.
Well, I was at USC, spent a lot of time with all those guys, I think he's I spent a lot of time with him. I think he's a great guy, he's a smart guy, and you know, I think any team's success is as we all talk about, the quarterback gets a lot of credit and a lot of blame if it isn't working out, but it's a cumulative thing.
Sanchez in this question that's kind of related. Is there any element when you're planning for a draft of, you say, so-and-so's here, we can't let him escape to a division rival. The two players who come to mind who have come back to bite Cleveland are Reed with Baltimore and Roethlisberger with Pittsburgh. Cleveland let both of them get away and wound up with players who weren't nearly as effective for the Browns.
Whenever you go into the draft, you look at what you think is going to be the best player for you. And when you make your pick, that's how you make your pick. And you'd love to be able to look at all drafts after the fact and say, okay, we're going to draft him because he's going to become a Hall of Fame player. We're going to draft him because he's going to be this. But you go based on the information that you have and you make the best decision that you can. And you don't get the benefit of seeing how they're going to play 4 or 5 years down the road prior to making that decision.
With Roethlisberger being a quarterback, quote-unquote franchise position, is there more thought when you're looking at a quarterback and say, hey, you know, if we don't take this guy, our division rivals are right behind us, and they might?
Well, I mean, Tom Brady went through 6 rounds with nobody taking him. He's worked out pretty well, and you know, I'm sure if we held the draft today, he'd probably get drafted pretty high.
One more. Derek, is Lacune ready to play, like in the regular defense at all or anything? You're going to use him?
I think both he and Kaluka are moving forward a little bit each week, and you know, they've gotten work with the unit, the defensive unit, through the course of practice, and he's been up for those games, so he has to be ready to play. And you know, when that opportunity will come or when he'll get reps, be some times where we may cycle those guys through to try to distribute the reps.
Is there something specific about
Tony's
got to do to get on the field?
Well, he's got some versatility, which is positive. So he's worked outside, he's worked inside, and he needs to keep improving with his overall understanding of the defense, of that week's opponent, and contributing on special teams. Sometimes, you know, you go to the game and you may not get any defensive reps or offensive reps, but you make a real impact on teams. And what we're looking for, ideally, is everybody that goes to the game has an impact in whatever role they're asked to play.
How much of the problem with the run offense do you attribute to the offensive line?
I really look at it as a full package. And I think that as you look at the last couple games where the ball's gotten through the line of scrimmage, and we had some opportunities to make the play down the field where the run could have been 10 yards or 15 yards as opposed to 60 yards. You know, that looks like you've given up 60 yards of rushing. But, you know, they did a nice job in some of those situations blocking on the perimeter. And it's the same thing offensively. If you break a run and you can block on the perimeter and the run goes for 30 instead of 20, I mean, that's a big difference. Or if it goes for 60 instead of 10, that's a big difference. And the tight ends are involved with it, the fullback's involved in it, the quarterback's involved in it, that everybody's involved in making that work. The right read by the running back, you know, when to cut back, when to press the hole. So it's a group thing.
Last week you said Robiskie, the special team, needs to get on special teams in order to be active. Has he made any progress toward that this week?
Well, he's working through with the groups during making those decisions for the inactives. We have a group of guys that may not have a core role right now in offense and defense, And then you look at what spots they can play on special teams, who has the better week of practice, and then you go you make the decision based on that, taking also into account what their role could be offensively and defensively in conjunction with what the plan is.
Thank you.